Tom, you got to talk to us. I know Wendy's more fun to talk to, but I'd appreciate it if you'd talk to us. Tom Fortino is here from the Alpha Wealth Group. You'll hear him Sunday mornings on WGN Radio on the Alpha Wealth Hour. But Tom frequently joins us sometimes just to break down stories in the news about the economy. The markets are down today. What's going on, Tom?
Well, I mean, I think it's a confluence of things. If you think about it, we're back. I mean, it was Labor Day. It was a shortened week, of course. This week we had the market. It's kind of came back in August. Also, if you look at the ISM index that came out today, it was a little weak as far as manufacturing. That's a little bit of a concern. So, again, a combination of things. Sometimes it's just taking a breather.
Right. 400 on the Dow or 100 on the S&P is not the scary number it used to be, is it?
Mm-hmm. No, it's all, when you think about it, as relative to, we look at these big numbers, is it, sometimes it's 0.5% or 1%. Not a good number, but you're right. Relatively speaking, it's not catastrophic.
And we've been at highs on a lot of all three
Absolutely.
Indexes. So who knows, we might finish the year north of 42.
We could. I mean, you think about it, just go back a month. When August started, August 5th, the market had corrected. Okay, here we go. The discussions were, we're going to have this big correction now. There's concerns. And the month of August ended up positive for all three indexes. So, we see this happening again, but yet here we go again with, we're going to predict what's going to happen in the market. You can't.
Okay, but what is a correction? What does that mean?
Well, I mean, again, we get into these technical terms, whether it's a recession or a correction or or a bear market.
Right.
And so we're talking 10% or more. Bear market is typically a 20%. And so those are technical terms.
Oh, a correction is 10%.
Yeah, typically. Yeah, we're talking.
So that would be down 4,000, say, on the Dow.
On the Dow, sure.
And do you think that that's imminent? And, and if it is, what do we make of that? Like, that's just the ebb and flow of the market.
Again, I would say yes, to your point, John. Ebb and flow of the market. I can't predict, and I guess we can't predict what's going to happen, but a 10% correction is not, this is not the end. Some, even when we see these, I hate to call them corrections, but when the market pulls back a little bit, some would say that's healthy for the market.
Well, it's also an opportunity, isn't it?
There you go. I like that. Yes, you nailed it. That's great. I mean, NVIDIA is down $8 today, $9. Not a suggestion to buy. You can look at what's happened over this past month. Amazon went down to 160 something from 200. I mean, these are quality good stocks that now, hey, maybe there's an opportunity, on a small percentage, but to add these to a portfolio and say, I'm going to own these stocks.
But what I'd like a money manager to do, or me to do, is, yes, I've heard of NVIDIA and Amazon, and if they are down 8%, I'll bet it's going to go up more. But what I want to do is get NVIDIA before it became NVIDIA. I wonder what those either tech companies or emerging industries are that would be smart to get into now.
Well, it's very tough to predict, but there are trends that you can start to take a look at. I mean, right now the market, some would suggest it's a little frothy on some of these tech companies' investments. But, I think there's opportunities. Again, down the line, we've talked about the Magnificent Seven for such a long time. Maybe on these other 493 stocks, it's time to start taking a look at those. Certainly small caps have really almost done very little over a number of years now, so we might want to take a look at some opportunities there as well.
I guess what I was thinking, if say one of these stocks is down 8% or one of these sectors is down 8%, if it rebounds like I think it will, okay, I've made 8%, but I want to make 800%. I want to buy NVIDIA when it was $28 a share and not whatever it is trading at now. I don't know what it's trading at now, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I wonder what those are. And of course, I'm asking you to sort of predict the future, and that's not fair. Talking to Tom Fortino, principal and founder of the Alpha Wealth Group. He's the host of our Alpha Wealth Group Hour on WGN Radio, Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. Tom and I were just talking about how the market's doing relatively well, mm-hmm. off a little bit today, but nothing to panic about. And there's a possibility that there would be a 10% correction at any time in any given market.
Mm-hmm.
And you would not be surprised. I just wanted to kind of clarify your thoughts about this, if that yet happened. But you might not think that's going to happen this calendar year, right?
Well, I think it could happen this calendar year, but I think overall the trend barring any event, we talk about these black swan events or events that we're not anticipating. Barring those types of things, I think we're going to end up positive for the year. That's just the way the trend is going.
No, we're positive so far.
Sure.
And the trend is going up. And election years happen how? Do they favor the markets or do they disfavor the markets?
Well, in presidential elections, going back 24 of them, which I think goes back to Hoover or Coolidge maybe, 20 out of the last 24 have been positive, and we may be, you know, it's 83%. So
20 of the last 24 four-year cycles.
Yes, presidential elections have been positive. And so far, we're on track.
And that's not necessarily a referendum on the president at the time or the party, I presume, because it's almost because it almost always happens regardless of who's in office, right?
That's a true statement. Yeah. Yeah. Then so there's argument that because the, you know, whoever's in power at the time is doing things to make the economy or the market move in a positive direction because there's an election coming up. I don't know if that's necessarily accurate, but that's some of the argument there.
Well, let me just read you a little bit from the New York Times the other day. It says, think you've planned for retirement, beware of the tax torpedo. And I think this is maybe scarier sounding than it is in that it can be bad for some people, but it's mm-hmm. not most people. Anyway, it says, look out for the Social Security tax torpedo. It may be heading toward the hull of your retirement accounts as we speak. If it hits, you might not even realize it. Peter Coy wrote this. He said, I'm in favor of taxing Social Security benefits, as the United States has done since 1983. I blogged this week against Donald Trump's plan to stop taxing Social Security mm-hmm. benefits. Let's stop right there. That's not news. Social Security is taxed and has been for a long time now, right?
It depends on what your income is. But yes, according to that article, starting in 1983, they said we're going to start taxing up to 50% of your benefit at whatever rate you're in. So up to half of your benefit could be considered taxable income.
As ordinary income. And so it'll be added on to whatever your other income is, and then the chips will fall there where they may, depending
Correct.
On which bracket you're in.
Correct. Now, in 93, they increased it again, and they said now up to 85% of your benefit.
Right. That's the number that I've heard, too. So 85% of your Social Security
Correct.
Could be taxable.
Could be taxable, considered taxable income.
Yeah.
Yep.
But this guy says there's a problem with how it is done. For middle-income taxpayers, different provisions of the tax code amplify one another in certain circumstances because of the tax torpedo and another twist nicknamed the capital gains bump zone. Someone in the 12% tax bracket who takes a $1,000 retirement distribution mm-hmm. could end up paying almost $500 for a marginal tax rate of nearly 50%. I don't know what I just said. It sounds like we've carved out a small niche of people. Anyway, what do you have to say about that in general?
Well, what we need to be aware of when we go into retirement is understand when we pull money out of our retirement accounts or anything that is taxable to us also pulls in more of your Social Security. So it's kind of a double whammy. So that 85%, if I'm pulling out $10,000 from my IRA and now another $8,500 of Social Security becomes taxable, not just taxed on $10,000, I'm taxed on $18,500. It can be pretty vicious. Quite frankly,
you're familiar with this. This
yeah.
is new to you, and those required distributions are what you are talking about.
Well, even any distributions, if you're even before your required distribution date, if you're 66 and you say I'm going to pull $10,000 out of my IRA, every penny's taxable, and then it can cause more of your Social Security to be taxable.
But that $10,000 out of your IRA wouldn't be taxable if you had put it in a Roth, right?
Right, yeah. And the Roth is not used to determine how much of your Social Security is taxable. So that's why this
is... Oh, that's big.
Yeah, it's huge.
Well, then why doesn't everybody favor a Roth instead of a typical...
Well, it's the pay me now, pay me later mentality. Well, if I can not pay taxes today, I'm going to try to do that. But then on the back end, I pull the money out, I'm taxed on it, whatever the tax rate is. It causes potentially more of my Social Security to be taxable. My Medicare premiums can be impacted.
That's true, too.
So we really should be considering, you know, you've heard me advocate for the Roths, Roth IRAs, Roth 401ks. There's opportunities there to start getting more money and shifting to tax-free. And so...
But depending on your income bracket, if you're a high wage earner, then you're going to pay a higher tax up front, which is what the Roth allows you to do.
Yeah.
But later in life, your income will be lower. Your tax rate presumably would be lower. So I could see the value in delaying paying the taxes coming out of an IRA.
Correct. And that's kind of where we see the balance. Okay, am I paying, but you know, am I paying less taxes and I'll be in a lower tax bracket? First of all, we don't know what the tax bracket's going to be down the road. So maybe we do, I like to say, just like investment diversification, maybe we start doing tax diversification. And I've said, look, as an example, now this may be extreme, but to illustrate, if all of your investments were in a Roth IRA, you would pay no taxes, you would get all of your Social Security tax free, you would pay none. So I mean, that's the maybe illustrates the impact that can have.
Right. But the flip side of that is just what I just said, that maybe you will have actually paid a higher rate of taxes going in than you would have coming out. So now you're enjoying fewer taxes on the backside, but maybe right. The net cost would have been more. You would have paid more taxes
correct.
Going in.
You're making a very valid point, John. I mean, what you're saying, yes. I guess the bottom line or the takeaway from that would be you really kind of want to take a look at your situation, but we really want to understand that's just not one or the other tax rate because Medicare premiums are impacted.
Well,
Social Security is impacted.
I'm glad you mentioned that because
required minimum distributions.
And that's what this piece of the Times is about from last month. And
sure.
That is when you consider the double whammy.
And your children get it tax free.
How's that?
The Roth. That's the other thing. So for those that are concerned about their legacy to their children,
right,
they're going to pay tax on the IRA. You know, either you're paying the tax during your lifetime or your children are. And so if the Roth, it's tax-free for the rest of your life. And by the way, it goes to your children tax-free as well for another 10 years.
So if that's part of your estate, if it passes on to your kids.
It's and it's tax-free to your children too.
Well, I mean, but my kids, it's not their IRA. It's my Roth IRA. Why are you talking about my kids?
Well, I'm saying if they inherit it. So for some that are saying, hey, this is something
my
I may not.
My kids are not getting my money.
Okay.
Are yours, Wendy? Good for you. Because I think I told my kids this, and if I didn't, hey, kids, listen up. We paid for your college. We paid for your college. You paid for your college. They're paying for some of it. We're paying for some of it. But I don't know. Is that a big, do most people want to leave money for their kids?
Yeah. I mean, invariably that seems to happen, you know, with people, even if they're not planning on it, it does. And I'm just saying it is a benefit, just something to consider. And typically when children inherit, they're at their highest tax years. So now they get it tax free. So a note.
You know, Tom, I think the gift you can give to your kids, all kidding aside, and I'm happy to leave money for my kids. I hope we're so fortunate. Mm-hmm. But when you consider how long people live and how expensive that can be in the latter years,
I agree.
The gift you can make to your kids is to, you know, my parents are 96 and 90.
Wow.
And
that's
they,
great.
I won't tell you the amount of money that they are paying each month to stay as well as they can stay.
Yeah.
But the gift they've given us is they haven't asked
they
me for
care.
Any money yet.
Yeah.
So, you know, they hope they don't outlive their money. I don't think they will. But my parents aren't rich. You know, they
planned.
They planned and they saved. I can't.
Yeah. Good for them.
Even now, we can't get them to buy a pizza. No, really, where they stay, they includes
wow.
the meals. And they don't like the meals. And I said, Mom, you know, just call the Chinese place or the pizza place. And she goes, no, because we're already paying for dinner. I said, but you don't like the dinners. So why don't you just buy a dinner you like? Nope, we're not going to do that. Not unless this. So I said, okay, well, then why are we talking about this? I can't fix the dinners here.
They did something right, obviously.
They did. They did. I mean, because except that now I have to buy the pizza. Tom, any featured topics Sunday on your show? You've got another one coming up.
Well, we're coming into September, and maybe there's this flip or the switch that flips in our mind of now it's time to get serious. We'll take a look at things. We're not in the last quarter, but we're getting close to the end of year, I guess. It happens quicker than we think. So revisiting the 401ks, understanding some things you can do because we have till the end of the year to make some adjustments there. We're going to talk about that as well as other things we always cover.
Tom always does. He's the founder and principal at the Alpha Wealth Group and the host of the Alpha Wealth Group Hour. That's on WGN Radio Sunday mornings at 7 a.m. and it sounds like this. For the hour, except I don't get in the way. Tom, it's nice to talk to you here.
It's been great to see you, yes.
We'll listen for you Sunday.